comment. We're talking about Nigeria's debt this morning, RBC. That's what we're talking about. And you're very, very welcome to join this conversation. We want to employ all discerning minds out there, or professionals, experts out there who can break these down. Please, let's know your own position. Stakeholders, let's know your position as to Nigeria's debt on our Facebook live stream. Nigeria Info 99.3, you can search for that. You'll be able to watch us live right now. If you watch on YouTube, you can go to YouTube as well to jump on it. Nigeria Info 99.3, same thing that you search for. We're interested in knowing what you think as a player, a stakeholder, a discerning mind in the affairs of Nigeria. Okay, so let's start by saying that according to a report, Nigeria's debt profile has changed, with the country owing more than foreign creditors than local creditors. So we owe more foreigners, foreign lenders, than local lenders. In December of 2021, that's about 5 months ago, the Debt Management Office DMO revealed that Nigeria's total public debt rose to 39.55 trillion naira. Now, according to the DG of DMO, Patience Oniha, the amount represented the total external and domestic debts of the federal government, as well as 36 states' governments, and of course the Federal Capital Territory. Now, while addressing journalists on the country's current debt situation in March, to be precise, 14th of March, the DMO boss said, and I quote, "The federal government is mindful of the relatively high debt-to-revenue ratio and has initiated various measures. The measures are to increase revenue through the Strategic Revenue Growth Initiative and the introduction of Finance Acts since 2019. Now, I want to fast forward. According to the Debt Management Office again, projections in the National Development Plan 2021 through 2025, in December of 2021, the federal government hopes to push its public debt, the debt stock of its public, from the public, to 50.22 trillion naira by next year, 2023. With domestic debt at 28.75 trillion naira and external debt at 21.47 trillion naira. Now, this shows that the regime of the current government, President Muhammadu Buhari, plans to accumulate about 12 trillion naira debt in 2 years alone, from 2021 through 2023. I'm going to also tell you about what international organizations and finance experts have said about our debt issue. I don't even know if it's an issue yet, but my guest is here to break that down. So experts have said they've expressed concerns, especially by some economic and financial experts, as well as international multilateral organizations as the World Bank and the IMF, over Nigeria's huge debt profile, which they said is becoming unsustainable. And that's where I will introduce my guest, Zila Karaiwe. He's a financial expert. He comes on here anytime I have issues with money and issues relating to Nigeria's finances. Zio, how are you doing?
Hi, Sheriff. Good morning.
It's good to have you here.
Thank you very much.
So, Agbese, is this sustainable?
I can't say.
Don't be politically correct.
At the current state, at the current levels, we are. No, it's not. It's a matter of numbers. It's not a matter of opinion. It's actually not sustainable. We've let it get to a situation where we've put ourselves in a very, very difficult place. We're in a very difficult place regarding debt and debt servicing. Yes.
What do you mean by not sustainable? I want our people to understand, you know, what do you mean?
Let me use an analogy.
Okay.
Since we want the people to understand.
Yes.
So let's imagine, for argument's sake, you earn 100,000 naira a month.
Okay.
Right? And so that's 1.2 million a year. That's your salary.
Mm-hmm.
And let's assume, just for argument's sake, out of that 1.2 million a year, you spend 1 million a year on rent, feeding, all your expenses, and then you have savings of 200,000 a year. Then you get a chieftaincy title at home. Okay. And you're like, oh boy, we don't blow. I'm a chief. So you then go out and borrow, just for argument's sake, 200,000 to do your chieftaincy. That 200,000 you've borrowed does not affect your standard of living, because that's your savings. But now let's imagine you went to borrow 1 million naira and you agreed to pay that 1 million naira over the next 1 year. Right? And you have only 200,000 savings. What that means is that you will have to borrow an additional 800,000 naira, and then you don't have the revenue, you don't have the salary to pay it back. So what then happens is, when it's time to pay that loan, you're going to have to borrow again. So you have 200,000, you've borrowed 1 million.
Yeah.
So you paid the 200,000 that you already have.
Yeah.
And then you're owing 800,000. At the end of 1 year, you've only saved another 200,000. So you then have to go and borrow 600,000 again to pay debt. Now, what then happens is, if you can't get that loan, you have to now start cutting back on some of your expenses. So if you can't borrow again, just for argument's sake, you then need to say, okay, you know what? This 1 million I'm saving every year, this 1 million I'm spending every year, what do I need to do? Okay, DSTV is too expensive. You cut it out. I go drinking with my friends every weekend. You cut it out. You know, you start cutting. I live in a 3-bedroom flat. Maybe I should move to 2. You know, you start cutting back on your living standards to accommodate the debt.
Right.
We are not doing that. We are not cutting back on our expenses. If anything, we're growing our expenses. And so we have a very, very, for lack of a better word, wasteful economy. Wasteful in the sense that there's a lot of things that we are spending on that we really should not be spending
on. Why can't we cut back? What's the issue?
So it's two different things. There's the one of cutting back, and there's the one of increasing. So what I was going to say before you said that was, if you earn 1.2 million and you're owing, right?
Yeah.
You can either cut back your expenses, or you can increase your revenue. Now, if you go to your employer and say, increase my salary, they may not agree. You may then decide, okay, no, let me set up a shop in front of my house. Do other things to make some more money.
Right.
Now, that is where we are significantly lacking as a nation. What else can we do to make money as a country? So there's the cutback issue, then there's the additional revenue issue. And that additional revenue issue sits almost entirely in our lack of productivity, our lack of ability to process.
Is it wise now, if we're not a producing economy, is it wise to keep borrowing? Can we survive without borrowing?
Is it wise? I like the way you said, is it wise? It's not wise at all. But can we survive without it? That's the problem. Yeah. We've put ourselves in a hole where we don't have enough revenue to survive. So we have to keep borrowing despite the fact that it's not wise. So we're in a position where we are forced by our past errors to consistently be foolish. So why are we not processing? And that's where the key issue is for our revenue. So for argument's sake, if you look at the things we import, our import bill, there's a lot of stuff we import that we can and should produce locally. Now, if we stopped importing those things, we would at least save on the foreign exchange.
Right.
And those things we import, it would generate revenue within the economy, as opposed to generating a cost out of the economy. So those are the things that we've not yet been able, for whatever reason, we've not yet been able to put those things together.
Right.
And so we do what is the easier option, even though it's unwise, is to keep borrowing. Now, I'll argue on the other side. Yeah. I don't agree with it, but I understand it. You would hear the politicians say things like, our debt to GDP ratio is very healthy.
I was going to ask you that.
Is that correct? Absolutely. Our debt to GDP ratio is very healthy. It's the equivalent of this man who earns 1.2 million a year, getting a chieftaincy title, goes to borrow 1 million naira to become a chief, right? And he has to pay that 1 million naira in 1 year.
Right.
And then he's told, why are you borrowing only 1 million naira? Borrow 3 million naira. Your other chiefs like you are borrowing up to 10 million. Your chieftaincy to salary ratio is very healthy. You know, that's how absurd it is. You know, your status ratio is very healthy.
Yeah.
Borrow more. You know, and if he's foolish enough to say, other chiefs like me are borrowing 10 million. I'm only borrowing one. Let me go and borrow three more. How would he pay it back? And so that's where that argument, that debt to GDP argument, falls flat. GDP does not repay your debt. If you want to know what is a healthy ratio or not, look at your debt service to revenue ratio. Because when you borrow, you have to service the debt. And you can only service the debt from your revenue.
What do we have? A debt problem or a revenue problem or both?
I like that. If you're familiar with numbers, fractions, 5/10, or let's say 5/10, yeah, it's half. 5/10, let's just say 5/10. If you want 5/10 to be a bigger number, you have two options. You can increase the numerator or decrease the denominator, or do both. So it's the same thing with debt and our revenue. We have bloated debt, we need to reduce it. We have far smaller revenue than we should. We need to increase it. So we have both problems. Too much debt, too little revenue.
How do we address these problems?
That's where you have...
How do we increase our revenue? How do we reduce our debt?
The easiest, and I'm not a proponent for what is easy sometimes is the best thing to do, but not all the time. Easiest thing for government to do to increase revenue is to increase tax. Now, given the
like we're paying for soft drink more now, like we're
personal income. I mean, but in my opinion, I think that the tax efficiency ratio is very, very low. So before I would advocate for taxes to be increased, I would advocate for tax collection to be efficient first. I mean, it's like if you're using a basket to fetch water, increasing the flow of water does not really change how much you collect.
That's true.
You have to, first of all, plug all the holes.
Yeah.
There are a lot of holes in our tax environment. Let me not be too specific. Especially in Lagos State, for example. So and given the socioeconomic environment we are, people are under severe pressure. You know, people are under, when I say severe pressure, increasing costs to the people is, you're opening a can of worms that may become a disaster.
Zeal, I'm going to ask you a very technical question in a moment. But before I do that, I think I should take one or two calls for people who want to join our conversation today. Feel free to do that. 0700-993-993-993 and 01465-7190. Again, if you're an expert in this space, we'd love to hear your thought as well. If you are on our social media platforms, feel free to drop your thoughts where we're streaming live on Facebook and on YouTube. Nigeria Info, good morning to you. Good morning.
Oh, sorry, I think I'm in the wrong station.
Oh, sorry about that. Our numbers are everywhere. Good morning to you.
Good morning.
Good morning to you.
My name is Vitalis Obasi.
Welcome, Mr. Vitalis. Talk to us.
I'm calling from Alaba.
Good to have you.
Okay. I want to, first of all, ask this question. This country, is this country for sale to the highest bidder? Why is it that since we don't have economics again, or does it mean that the government does not listen to advices from the economists, the experts on economic management? Then, in terms of revenue generation,
Mr. Vitalis, I'm really sorry. I'm going to have to discontinue with that call. Apologies. Do bear with me. It's just bad connection we experienced there. Good morning to you.
Hello.
Good morning to you.
Good morning, sir.
Yes, please turn off your radio quickly.
Hello.
Yes, please. We can hear you now.
Okay. Good morning, sir.
Good morning.
Then good morning, the other guy in the studio.
Good morning.
Good morning.
What I expect you to say is that they should cut their money down all those who are ruling us, the money we are taking is too much. And again, this money we are borrowing is in the hand of those who are ruling us since all these years. That is how I see it.
Thank you. The money we are borrowing is not in anybody's hands.
No, but she does make a point that's very interesting. And that, I mean, to compare two numbers.
Yeah.
As at the end of the year 2015, our debt as a nation was $65 billion.
Okay.
And 12 trillion naira. Yeah. That's our total debt. Total debt as at December 2021, which was just 3 months ago, was $95 billion and 40 trillion naira. So in 6 years, we've borrowed an additional $30 billion and almost 30 trillion naira. Now, when you think that our average budget expenditure in a year is only about maybe on average about 7 or 8 trillion over the period, you find so we're almost borrowing everything. Almost, you know, we don't seem to have harnessed the capacity. We have the capacity, we just have not harnessed the capacity to generate revenue, or whatever it is we're generating is leaking. So give a very simple example, which we all know, which was the point I was making about processing.
Right, right.
We produce a lot of crude oil, but we process none of it. And we spend an average of $10 to $12 billion, Sheriff, every year importing petroleum-related products. Extrapolate that by as many years as you like. But it's not only oil. You know, well, I think we're West Africa or Africa's largest tomato producers. But guess what? We don't process any of it. None. We produce cocoa, we don't process. We produce cashew nuts, we don't process. And processing is where the revenue sits. And we're basically outsourcing our revenue and then buying it back at least a 2.5 to 3 times multiple. It's highly inefficient. Highly inefficient.
Indeed. Think about this question, right? This government has borrowed money, internal and external, more than all the previous governments combined. Tell me what could be responsible for that. That will be after the break. Lagos, we need to give you some messages right now. Mr. Brown is here. After Mr. Brown's message, we'll continue with our conversation. Well, we'll go to break. Then after the break, we'll now come back here to talk some more. Stay here on Nigeria Info 99.3. I'll be back.
This is an infomercial.
Nigeria's debt issue. So let me give you some background to my next question. Obasanjo government met $28 billion as foreign debt in 1999. Obasanjo government left $2.11 billion when he was leaving in 2007. Because at that time, his team successfully got a reprieve for Nigeria.
The Paris Club Refund.
The Paris Club Refund. Yeah. And we were all happy. We celebrated it. The Yar'Adua Jonathan government came in. They added $1.39 billion to what they met. And then Jonathan government incurred about $3.8 billion to that, taking the country's total foreign debts to $7.3 billion. Now, Nigeria's external loan reached $28.57 billion in December of 2020, meaning an extra $21.27 billion had been accumulated under Buhari's administration, 3 times the combined amount by past governments since 1999. Zeal, it's not your area. Waiting up.
Well, I now you're asking for an opinion. I prefer to stick to facts. I prefer numbers and figures. That's very unemotional. First of all, there is the school of thought. There is nothing wrong with borrowing. No, don't get me wrong. I mean, we all borrow when we need. There's absolutely nothing wrong with borrowing. There's no issue with borrowing. As a matter of fact, for a corporate entity, a lack of debt could mean could signify a problem, either with your strategy, your management, or whatever. But debt is useful. Now, the issue with debt is a means to do something, to achieve something, to achieve an outcome. You don't borrow because there's money to be borrowed. You borrow because you can use the money to generate more money. Or you could use the money in such a way that you satisfy a need and pay it back over time. So I can borrow money that I need to do something today. For example, if I need to buy a car, I don't have money to buy a car. I can go and borrow money to buy a car and pay back over 4 years, right? It eases my cash flow. I can take a little from my monthly salary and pay it back. And it eases it. There's no pressure on me instead of going to look for a bulk sum and, you know. So debt can be useful. The question is, all the money we've borrowed, what are we doing with it? It's not wise to borrow money long term to satisfy short-term needs. It's not wise at all. Don't go and borrow money you will pay back over 3 years to have a party for 1 weekend.
Doesn't make any sense.
It doesn't. It's not wise. It's not wise. Because you're going to spend the next 3 years. Then what happens when you have a party in 3 months and you have another party in 1 year? You know? So it's also not wise to borrow for 3 years or four to pay salaries this year. Because how would you pay salaries next year? Because salary is not, unless those people you're paying a salary are going to now generate enough revenue to surpass the debt you've incurred to pay them. If it's just your recurrent, if you're borrowing long term to satisfy recurrent expenditure, you are just digging a hole to cover a hole. And at the end of the day, you're going to be left with a bigger hole. That's all that's going to happen. You're just going to keep shifting where the hole exists, but you're going to be left with a bigger hole. Let me give you some numbers.
Yes, please.
From the DMO's website. So people that like to call me and tell me that I'm not sure what I'm saying. From DMO's website for 2021, quarter 1, 2, 3, 4, we spent roughly $2.1 billion on debt service. Right?
Before you go on, For the sake of people who may want to know what you mean, what does debt service mean? Does it mean you're paying back your loan?
Yes, paying interest.
Not the loan
and
itself.
Part of the loan. Some of them have moratorium, so not the entire loan. So mostly interest and part of. Of course, there is some principal repayment. Okay. So principal and interest repayment for 2021 alone was $2.1 billion, right? That's dollars. Hang on. And we spent $2 trillion on debt service.
$2 trillion.
So if you use an exchange rate of 400 and whatever, just call the $2.1 billion $1 trillion to make it easy. So in 2021 we spent $3 trillion servicing debt. That's money we've borrowed in the past. We've already spent it, we've already used it. We're now taking $3 trillion from our revenues to be paying that back. Total government revenues for 2021, I don't think it was more than $5 trillion, $6 trillion tops. So when you look at your debt service to revenue ratio, you have absolutely no space to borrow more. So that's the issue of looking at debt service to revenue versus looking at debt to GDP. Debt to GDP says there's space to borrow. Debt service to revenue says, oh boy, there ain't no money to pay it back. I mean, in first quarter last year, because the numbers change every quarter, the Minister for Finance, I think quarter one last year, Honorable Aisha, well, she said, if I remember correctly, we were spending over 90, our debt service to revenue ratio was over 90%. So of all the money the federal government got as revenue, for every $1 the federal government got as revenue in quarter one last year, 90 cents was used to service debt. So, and then if the recurrent expenditure of government is another, for argument's sake, 50 cents, where would they get the extra 40 from? They have to go and borrow more. And that's what's called the, it's called the poverty cycle when you're talking of sociology and the socioeconomic circumstance of the citizens. But this is a poverty trap for the government when you have to keep borrowing to maintain the minimum standard of living. If then... you have to keep borrowing. It's a debt trap. It's a poverty trap. It's very, very, very hard to get out of.
Are there other options? I mean, if you say like right now,
there are a few options. I won't say many, but there are a few options. I think that one of I wouldn't use adjectives that are my opinion, but I would say that if you apply significant amount of wisdom, knowledge, and intellect, we wouldn't have gotten to where we are now. There is going to be a significant amount of pain in solving this problem. Pain for everybody.
For everybody.
For everybody. But the thing is, we have a very low trust deficit on the government. Mm. So when the government tells us we have to take some pain to get out of this problem, but you, the government, are taking no pain. You are still living on a lifestyle as a government that makes no sense for the burden the nation is carrying. There is no evidence that there is a significant cutback in unnecessary expenditure. There is no evidence that there is sensibility applied to the government policies regarding expenditure and revenue. So when you tell the people to take the hit and take a pain, they're looking at you and saying, you do it first, lead by example. So that's why when you see things like, if we borrow money to develop a certain industry that would generate revenue, then we know, okay, this money we've borrowed, this industry or this sector is going to generate XYZ over the next 5-10 years. It will pay off the loan by itself and support other industries. And so this is the program we have for debt. This is how we're going to borrow. This is how we're going to spend it. It should be that transparent. But borrowing money to, and this is going to be very painful to hear for everybody, but borrowing money to pay for fuel subsidy is one of the most insane things you can do, really and truly, for the level we are in debt and the level of lack of revenue we have, for the level of everything. It's one of the most insane things we can do.
Like one of the senseless things you can do.
I won't say it because
I'm just helping you now. Say senseless things you can do.
No, why I don't want to say that is, this government will take it as a dare and then do something worse. So I don't like saying things like that, because when you think you've hit the bottom, somehow they just come up with something and you're like, how do you?
No, but can we really blame this government? Because they've tried to stop paying subsidy. Well, then the people kept putting pressure on the government.
I don't like using the word blame, but I will put the responsibility squarely on this government. For one simple reason, and this is not just an opinion, I would say that I personally, in what this government came in May 2015, all prices started going down December 2014, January 2015. I personally, so it's not that I heard gist, went with a hedging program to the previous government and this government. Well, this government, all prices had already come down by the time they came in. They didn't listen. I personally wrote a paper in October, November 2015 on how, why, and when to remove fuel subsidy. And December 2015 was the optimal time to remove it, because all prices had fallen to a level where we, and they used this, NNPC used this very dodgy term, over-recovery. Do you remember?
Yeah.
What that meant was that we could afford to sell fuel lower than the pump price, because the cost of bringing it, and that's what they were calling over-recovery. So at that time, if we had removed what we called subsidy, petrol price would have gone down. We also needed to have put in a transparent mechanism for people to understand the correlation between the two key component factors of the cost of fuel is exchange rates and oil price. They contribute the most. That's not all, but you can. There's a factor. So if oil price is X, exchange rate is Y, this is what the pump price will be, to give you plus or minus 6% variation. And let the people know this. So they'll know, as oil prices go up, fuel price will go up, just like diesel, just like bread, just like every other thing we consume.
We bring in.
Exactly. So they had the opportunity in December 2015 to take that big heap off the government's neck, and they did not. So that was a decision they made. So yes, I'll put the responsibility squarely on them. Now it is significantly more difficult to take it out. Significantly. But this is a question of, which death do you want to die by? Because keeping the subsidy is going to wreck the finances. Removing the subsidy is going to have a socioeconomic calamity. So, which death do you want to die by?
Okay. Do you want to be a politician one day?
No. I will be very, very involved as much as I can in governance, in policy, but I don't need to be a politician to do that.
2023 is here.
2023 is here and gone, if you know what's going on. 2023 is done and dusted for all practical reasons. It's done and dusted. We just don't know who is going to be taking the decisions, but in terms of policy direction and all that, or what the parties are going to do, it's
So my point with that is there likely to be a change for the better after 2023 election? What should an incoming administration expect, and what should be their primary focus when they come in?
I like to talk about solving Nigeria's problems in generations, not in election cycles.
Okay.
So I think for where we are, we need maybe one or two, hopefully no more than two generations to stabilize the country. That's what I think. Will 2023 to 2027 make a significant difference? If the government that comes in understands what needs to be done in the time frame that needs to be done, and starts to lay the foundation for it to be done, we will see it. But can we turn the country around in 4 years and all of a sudden we're no longer the poverty capital of the world, or we're no longer having the open defecation of the world, or we're not having the largest malaria death in the world? No, that's not going to happen in 4 years, right? But is it possible to start setting the foundation in terms of getting policies in order, getting the systems of government to work the way they should? I mean, if you Google all the things DMO has advised the government on,
yeah,
it's advisory, and government doesn't listen. You Google all the things that the economic advisors have advised the government on that they've not listened. You start to wonder, what's the point having advisors you don't listen to, especially where they're advising you in an area that you are clearly incompetent? So what's the point hiring competent people to manage your debt and all of that, and then you don't listen to when they tell you, we need to slow down, we need to do this more. And we need people that would get the entire system of government to work as a single unit, which is something, in my opinion, this government has significantly failed at, getting the government to move in one direction. So you find that if you talk to one arm of government, they want to do X, another arm is aiming to do Y, and then you see different arms of government clashing and fighting each other because they don't have a unified direction they want to go. Everybody's just is on survival mode. Even the parastatals in government are trying to survive. So it's not something that I would say, 2023, but it's something I would test in whoever we vote for in 2023. Do you understand these are the issues? Do you understand that these issues will take a long time? Do you understand these are the cuts needed? Do you understand this is the amount of courage you need to do it? Do you understand the amount of empathy you need to understand the pulse of the people? Do you understand all these things? Don't come and tell me that I can eat corn in the morning and drink kunu in the night. That's not really what I want to hear.
I'm still on that election conversation. The reason is, that is the direction, because we're in that season now. What should, in terms of economy, the debt, the people's lifestyle and well-being, what should the electorate be asking politicians when they come to campaign about? Will make your life better, will not borrow again, will build road, what are those pertinent questions that need to be asked?
You see, I'll say two things. I'll answer you directly first, and the easier answer for me is, last week I started a hashtag on Twitter. It's type of leaders we need. Okay, and every day, every other day, I write about a specific quality that we should all look out for. It's party agnostic, it's individual agnostic. It's just a question of, these are the qualities the leader we need should have. So you go and test it yourself, right? But the other thing, Sherif, is it's again very painful to hear, but the woman in Ayobo who is selling bolia at the side of the road, who's going to vote, who all her life has been made promises by politicians and none of them have been fulfilled. And then we tell her, when they give you a bag of rice, don't collect it. We honestly, in good conscience, can't tell her that, because as far as she's concerned, they will mess up. with or without my bag of rice. So I might as well collect my bag of rice, because either way they will mess up. So it's not easy, and that's why you need a certain level of understanding of what needs to be done, what ought to be done, to be able to take a long-term decision. It's not fair to ask somebody living in poverty, whose daily sustenance is not assured, to come and take a decision for the next 4 years. That's the equivalent of torturing him to say something, and he will say anything. Anything you induce him to say, he will say it. Whoever you induce him to vote for, he will vote for that person. It's not fair to ask them to do that, but we're doing that. So it's now left to people like you on radio and me sometimes to let people know this is what this is, our debt situation. Again, the woman selling Boli or Agbado in Alagbado does not know how much the country is owing. She doesn't understand how it impacts her. Explaining it to her will not make a difference to her. But that is something. The question is, this debt, is it the president that borrowed it? Because he's the one that is elected. We have a central bank governor. He was not elected. We have a head of the debt management office. She was not elected.
That's right.
We have a minister of finance. She was not elected.
Right.
Minister for budget and planning. So telling them this is the issue cannot change who the central bank governor is. But if the person making these appointments and the people in the Senate, very important, who screen them, even the people in the Houses of Assembly that screen commissioners, if those people are not enlightened enough to test for the qualities for those respective portfolios, then we're sunk. That is the issue. So we need leaders who will look at the state of the nation and look for the characters with the competence and the track record to solve those problems. Unfortunately, we generally look for people of our tribe or our religion or our party to do that. And as long as that's what we keep doing, we will continue boring stupidly, and our children will wake up one day and wonder, what were our parents doing? Why are they so foolish?
It's deep. Zila Kariwe, thank you so much for joining us today. Quickly, your social media handles before you go.
So on Twitter, my handle is at zeal_a, that's at ZEAL_a. But generally, if you search for Zeal Jacobson on social media, you'd find me.
Fantastic. Yeah. Again, thank you so much for coming around.
Thank you, Sheriff. And let's do, I mean, we're going into politics season.
Yeah.
Let's do this more. Not talking about politics and not talking about who to vote for, but talking about the qualities to look for and the specific issues those qualities should address.
Fantastic. I'm Sheriff Quadri Lagos. Thank you for joining us. Mr. Brown is here to give us a message before we wrap up. I'll be back after the message that Mr. Brown is here to share with us. We'll be right back.
This is an infomercial.
Hey, it's your Deals Plug, and as usual, I've got the most fantastic information on the market, and it's tailor-made just for you. Now, of course, I'm here to tell you about an online writing platform that is basically going to...
99.3 Nigeria Info. We are more than just radio. Subscribe to our YouTube channel at Nigeria Info FM. Check us out on Facebook at Nigeria Info 99.3. Follow us on Twitter at Nigeria Info FM and on Instagram at Nigeria Info FM Lagos for live updates as it happens. 99.3 Nigeria Info. Let's talk.